Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Welcome. Today, Friday, the 14th. Well, we could say halfway through June. Hard to believe. We are well into 2019. Almost half over. You know, and we've been listening to the Democrats and all the liberals and nutcases out of Hollywood and the singers and, you know, just pathetic. But today it's not about them. I like to remind myself that in spite of all of the garbage that people do, there are good, honest, godly people. There is hope, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is on the throne. He sent his only begotten Son, who triumphed openly over all the devil has. We have hope today. You're listening to the WIBR Warren Radio. This is a Friday show. This is actually begins the weekend. This is Sound the Shofar. We are going to be discussing and teaching on fasting and prayer, in quotes, for the believer. You have to be a believer. Even the devil believes in something. But we have a greater hope. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Look for the handle WatchmanIS216. You can do hashtag on those. Instagram and Twitter, you can also find us Warn Radio, one word. And on LinkedIn, look for Watchman. We're also on Tumblr. And, you know, we have a few others in there, but these are the ones mainly. Go to our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Now, you're listening to Warn Radio, many of you. We thank you for listening. Those who hear us through the Blueberry feed and all their parts where they send it to. iHeartRadio, we thank all the listeners on iHeart, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Acast, for those of you who catch the shows and things on Facebook and on Google Play Music, and come to our own websites. Thank you for listening. And we do have a few others. You can also hear us on YouTube. I did start that up again. I'm not a big fan of YouTube, but they automatically get fed through Spreaker, so that's fine. We have some articles. Every week I have a lot of articles. America's Social Justice. Oh, yes, and we've got Bernie the Socialist, Biden the old white guy. Of course, Bernie's an old white guy. Bernie lived in Russia. Maybe that's why he came back over here to push socialism. But we got a whole plethora of young people who call all of us who love America. Well, let me rephrase that. I love God first. I serve him. I'm here as a watchman for him, a preacher and a teacher. I am not a watchman for America. America's headed into judgment. But the America that our forefathers founded, I'm all for. And, of course, they call everybody who supports America as it was Nazis, fascists, bunch of young, dumb punks who don't know any different. Go figure. Well, at any rate, America's social justice, all the social justice warriors, Antifa, they're all socialists and communists dressed up in a push for a new world order. At any rate, you can read about that article. Another one, the evil, sufficient unto the day. That's another one. Keep them from the evil. You need to check that out. The persecuted gospel and Christian leadership. This is when you lose anointed leaders of the gospel and they're locked up. So we have a lot of good articles there. Fasting and prayer, which will open doors, bring down principalities, destroy powers, and open the door. Now, the minute you begin fasting and prayer, there is this power that is available, but it requires the armor of God. We talked about that. Now, when we talk about fasting, there is one thing many people do, including many that are, you know, ministering in various places. They basically do a three-day fast. Daniel had a fast, the 21-day, and then he had the Esther fast. Esther's was three-day total fast. Daniel had abstinence from certain kind of foods. You know, he basically what we consider eat vegetables. He abstained. As David Wilkerson mentions about fasting, he says it's an attitude of prayer. You know, in a nation that's hedonistic like America, well, the West too. You know, and even Muslim nations are hedonistic. They're just hedonistic about other things. Even the children of Israel, when they were over at Sinai, before they met up with the Lord God and had to do a few things, the Lord said they needed to sanctify themselves for 3 days. Set aside, have no sex. Oh, dear God in heaven, in America. Have no sex? You know, we have so much focus on sex of all kinds and confusing our kids about sex roles. Dear God in heaven, help us. You'd think, especially when you look at all these trashy movies that are so popular and all these trashy sitcoms, just absolutely filth. Of course, stuff like The Young and the Restless, those soaps, they're real popular. Some of those have been going on for decades. People get hung up on this garbage. You know, you need to get a life. You know, you need to spend time outside, especially in the summertime. In the winter, if you can do it, go do it. You need to spend time in the evening looking up at the stars and thanking Almighty God for His blessings. You need to spend time with your children, and you need to stop spending so much time on your smartphone and on the computer and the internet. Because all this tech is not to be trusted. You know, it's just a cold piece of metal. It's a one-dimensional screen that they try to make you think it's three-dimensional. Of course, we do have 3D. We do have a lot of other things. I've talked about a lot of this stuff before, about how the Antichrist will use it. But you need to get outside, enjoy nature. enjoy the God of nature. You see, Mother Earth didn't make, neither did Mother Nature make, create all of this. You didn't just happen from some protozoa or a one-celled item so long ago. God created you out of the dust of the earth. The first cause was God, not man, not accident. But you can't tell this world and its scientists much of anything. Science without God is paganism. That's what we have, hedonistic paganism. So living in a world like this, you need to fast, you need to pray, you need to seek the Lord. But there is also a time to go relax. In Judges 20, 26, and 7, then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even. Then they burned the burnt offerings and peace offerings. And then the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. This is the way it used to be done with Israel. Of course, the pagan nations, they didn't do anything. They had their own gods. They didn't have the true and living God. But you have to sanctify yourself. If you're going to involve God in your plans, you need to fast, you need to pray, you need to seek His face. If you need healing, you need to be seeking His face. And sometimes that requires fasting to go with it in order to break the bonds, the yoke of bondage. Now see, the Ark of the Covenant today is Jesus Christ. The inner sanctum is through Christ. He's at the right hand of the God, and we can enter in boldly into His throne to find grace and mercy in time of need. And of course, you don't need to go through all the various saints as the Catholic Church does. And people, that's what they do. That's natural for them. But it's not scriptural. Why do you want to go through some saint when you can go right to the Father in Jesus' name? Nevertheless, people do what they want to do. You do what you want to do. That's one thing about it. You have a choice. I give you the Word of God. I preach you truth. You either receive it or you don't. It's on your account, not mine. My account is to do it in the first place. But living in a world like we live in today, there's a lot of things that you need to listen up to. In Joel chapter 1, he calls the priest to supplication day and night. Of course, you know, Israel was having trouble about the time Joel was going. And of course, you have the northern tribes that went into bondage. They were scattered among the nations. You have Judah that was carried captive and eventually came back. Jews who should have known the Lord God, who should have sought the true and living God, but instead they fell away. And of course, for the Christian church, beware. If Israel fell away, became cold, its leadership serving other gods, know that it can happen again. Joel 1, starting at verse 12, three verses, we have the vine is dried up, the fig tree languisheth, the palm tree pomegranate, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Well, the reason they're withered is because there's a drought going on because of sin. Now, that's literal vines and fig tree, but the vine. You see, today, through Christ, the vine is Christ, and we are the branches. In the Old Testament, as many call it, Israel was the vine. And it surely was dried up. It was withered. It was producing bitter fruit. Verse 13, gird yourselves and lament instead of being rejoicing, getting drunk, doing your own thing. Gird yourselves, get yourselves ready, in other words, and lament. Don't rejoice. Even James talks about that in the last days. You know, don't be rejoicing, not with the sins of men so heavy. You priests, howl. You ministers of the altar, come, lie all night in sackcloth. You ministers of my God, for the meat offering, the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. They had a problem. The first place they went was to the Lord. We have a problem. We go to our doctors. We go to our lawyers. We go to our priests. We go to our ministers. We go to our friend. You go to your mistress, or you go to your, you know, that guy that you're laying with. You do anything. Or do you? Or do you really seek the Lord? See, that's what we need to be doing. But you got to be careful, because the arm of the flesh dearly wants you to rest upon it. And there's a curse associated with that arm of the flesh. You got to rest in the Lord. You got to seek Him. If you have personal needs, needs for your family, you have to be able to stand. How many times have you prayed for something and nothing happened? Do you believe in divine healing? Do you believe God can intercede? See, many times you'll pray and nothing happens. Then the question remains, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to fast and pray in order to seek God and make sure that your petition gets before Him? Or maybe you just don't believe. If you believe, all things are possible. Now, in 1 Samuel, when Saul and his sons died in battle, that was a horrific day for them. However, he had been trying to kill David, and David, of course, was the heir to the throne, because Saul had sinned. And David had a chance of killing Saul, but he didn't do it because he left it in the hands of the Lord. But here, when Saul and his sons died, they had a 7-day fast. When grief comes, when things are unbearable, when you don't know what to do, fasting. So the event, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. But you see, Saul was a warrior. And, you know, he was a fighter. He had problems being obedient with the Lord God and impulsive, doing things on his own. And in that day and age, if you're impulsive, it can get you in trouble. Because the Lord gave the word and that was it. There's no turning left or right. In the New Testament, there is a little thing called grace. And a little thing that God put in there that if we confess our sins, read 1 John 1. He's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. But within that context is another little part that says if we walk in the light as he is in the light. You can read the rest of that. We have a place we need to be. Walking in that light as Christ walked. Thus we end up with that fellowship with him. And when we seek his face, the petitions will come before him. So I really think, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that in the Christian church today, we take a lot of things for granted, and a lot of it's covered under the blood of the Lamb. God has made allowance for us to repent of our foolish ways, thank God. You know, I've looked. I've yet to find a perfect human being, let alone in the church. But, you know, love can cover a multitude of sins. That's why Christ wanted us to love one another within a church, and that's, you know, we don't do that. I don't care what you say. There's no way the Church of Jesus Christ today loves each other as they should. No way. We are divided into denominations. We are surely divided into ethnic groups, and we are really divided in social levels. All of that divides us. Now, remember Anna the prophetess? Now, this is a woman that really had a ministry of fasting and prayer. The story is in Luke chapter 2. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So she was 84. And now that is great age, 84. And she was married at a young age, directly from her virginity. And of course, he died. Doesn't say when. But she immediately, her goal was to be in the temple where the Lord was, to seek his face. And she served God with fasting and prayers day and night. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now she had seen the child, Jesus, when he was brought into the temple. And that's what prompted her. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now see, she had looked for redemption. They were looking for the consolation of Israel. That's what he represented for them. And there was many of them that were blinded at the time, didn't receive him. John tells us that in chapter 1. But, you know, there were those who were fasting and praying in the temple that when he came in, the Spirit of God moved them. They knew that this was the Son of God. This was redemption. He was the one to bring redemption for them and consolation, for they had been given into judgment. You know, that's the consolation. Israel is still looking for consolation. She is so hated and despised by her enemies. But God ain't done with them. So Anna, in the temple day and night, fasting and praying. Now, that doesn't mean she never ate. But that's what she did. She had a regular schedule where she would fast and she would pray and fast. And you could technically go without breakfast every day and eat at night, or vice versa. So there was a way that she spent time. And so when the Lord, you know, as a child came in, she recognized who he was immediately. She knew. And so fasting and prayer opens up that line to God that enables you to know things that you wouldn't normally know. And this, it constantly amazes me, the things that you know ahead of time, because it happens to me a lot in my everyday dealings with my family and other people. There's things I just know. And there's things that's revealed to me while I'm fasting and praying. There's battles that I wage when I'm fasting and praying. And there's personal issues that sometimes I need to deal with in fasting and praying. And you can't just say, pretty please, devil, let them go. You have to take the initiative. You have to walk in the dominion God gave you through Christ. And you need to bind. You need to command. You need to seek the Lord. If you had an enemy come into your house and grabbed your wife or your daughter, or your son, you wouldn't say, pretty please, Mr. Bad Guy, will you let him go? No, you would do something. You'd say, let him go. And then you'd go up and remove him if he didn't let go. Now, see, in fasting and prayer, it's the same way. You're saying to the devil and his minions, let go. The Lord said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let go, devil. Let go, minions of the devil. In Jesus' name, I bind you. Or maybe you need a healing. But it has to be in accordance with the will of God. Now, we do have some directions. There's actually, you know, and this is really kind of neat because we look in what the Lord says, Matthew 6, 16 through 18. And it says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. Now, he's talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, some of these others in Israel who would openly fast to be of a sad countenance so they would show that they're suffering for the Lord and fasting, and so they'll be raised up. People look at them as holy. Well, you know, this is really of the flesh. You see it in India too. There's holy men over there in India, Hindus and Hindis, and they will go without eating. They'll do all kinds of things to appear holy because they're working. Now, see, all the working that we do is not going to justify you. It has to be through Christ, in Christ. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have the reward. So why should any prayer be answered if they have the reward? But thou, when you fast, anoint, that means to oil with perfume. We use oil, not perfume, but in the Greek, that word anoint means to oil, put on. In other words, you refresh yourself. You put something on your face, your head, and you wash your face. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees you in secret shall reward you openly. So, when we're starting a fast, we're not to be as a hypocrite. That's the first thing. We're not to have a sad face, and we're not to appear to men that you are fasting. Those are the first three. In other words, you're fasting to God. You're not fasting to the church. You're not fasting to the pastor. You're not fasting to anybody but to the Lord. Now, see, there are times when you have a corporate fast, when you're all working together for a purpose, fasting for a common goal and a common good in the name of the Lord. That's okay. And in those cases, or for instance, if you and your wife or you and your husband or you and your friend are fasting, you know each other are fasting. That's okay. But what we're talking about is letting it known, sad face, oh, woe is me, you know, but I'm holy, I'm going to stick with it. You know, that's why I'm so holy, I fast, and I'm letting you know about it, so you're supposed to show me how great I am, and no, that's not it. I want your attention. No, we don't want attention. We don't want anybody to know. Anoint your head and wash your face. Well, see, most people, especially in America, they're taking showers and baths all the time. So, you know, unless they really work at it, nobody would really know just by your head or washing your face that you're fasting. Of course, around, you know, in America, too, we have people that just don't take a bath and they really look bad. You know, and you know, we are in a predicament in America, you know, especially if you go into Walmart. We got two Walmarts here, one on one side, one on the other. The one on the other side, opposite it, on the other side of town, is a lot better. But the one on the other one, I mean, it's pathetic what is in there as human beings. I mean, walking around in there, it's sad. You can't talk to them. You can't change anything. Most of them wear their bedclothes in there, and they just look atrocious. I mean, some of the women are just like, oh, God, help us. And the men are the same way. It's just like, where is common sense? Where's common decency? Where's, you know, what happened to you? Didn't your parents teach you anything? No, they didn't. What about manners? You know, that was a common thing when I was grown. Johnny, don't do that. Ask to be excused from the table. You know, I mean, that's what we were taught. Now, they weren't taught anything. Now, see, God's trying to teach you some things. Now, this is what he wants. Don't try to fast to me, says the Lord, and be like a hypocrite in a sad face and going around and let everybody know. I don't want them to know. You're doing it to me. You're not doing it to them. I already know you're doing it. So go wash your head and wash your face. You're doing it as to me. I want you to do it in secret. And when you do it in secret, you follow these things, I'll reward you openly. starting a fast. In Matthew 15:29-31, and Jesus departed from thence and came unto the Sea of Galilee, went up into a mountain and sat down there. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. I'd love to have been there. He still does that today. But he's given us the commission. See, this is the difference. When he was walking around doing the healing, in the beginning, the apostles weren't doing the healing. He was doing the healing. Later on, he sent them out. Later on, they found out that the spirits were subject to them. The demons were subject to them. Then after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they went out and miracles and signs and wonders were done, just like they were done by the Lord. And the Lord told them, greater things than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Now, see, we are in this time period, folks. The Lord already came and he went and he's given us a commission. He's given us dominion. And you can go in power. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. You can believe and receive, in accordance with the Word of God. And it says, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. You know, they brought these things, and it was, and everything was being done. But see, the problem of it is, they were amazed. I can tell you that the chief priests and even the Apostle Paul, who wasn't the Apostle Paul at that time, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, they all knew about him. They all knew about the Lord. They heard about the miracles. The multitudes were over there. They were worried. They weren't doing any miracles in the temple. The miracles now were being done by this itinerant preacher. You know, and he wasn't even a Levite. According to the code, you got to be a Levite to be a priest. He wasn't. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Totally different. Supernatural, spiritual, has no beginning and end. He is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, scripture says, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was in the beginning, and there was not anything made that was not made by him. The beginning. He was in the beginning. Before Abraham was, I am, he said. We're doing Isaiah on Thursday nights. We did his vision. And the Lord asks Isaiah after he's appeared to him. And so he says, and who shall go for us? And Isaiah says, I will. You see, that was the first great commission when God was sending the prophets, because God, being holy, couldn't come down to man. Everybody would have died. I mean, he can't be in the presence of of sin. He's holy. You'd get burned up, just like being in the presence of a nuclear bomb. You'd get, talk about fizzle and sizzle. Yeah. You can thank God. You really do. You need to thank God that you have redemption through Christ. So the multitude is wondering. You know, first of all, they can't believe it, but they have to believe it because they're seeing it done. I mean, things that have never been done. And the only thing they knew to do was glorify the God of Israel. They didn't know what else to do. Well, we'll glorify God. They certainly couldn't understand it, except that anybody that did such things would have to be of God. Because they knew the devil well enough that the devil ain't going to come walking around healing everybody and making them feel good. No, the devil only feels good when he gets you to sin. Then he's happy. But really, is he happy? No, he's never satisfied. He'll never be happy. He's going to be burned in the lake of fire forever. So that can't be too a happy prospect after all. Of course, the Lord said of him, "You're a liar, and you were a liar from the beginning." When the devil begins to bug you, you must have the power and presence of the Lord in your life. And even the newest Christian can resist the devil in Jesus' name, and he will flee. Resist him, he says. Sometimes we don't believe, though. You resist him, and the devil's still standing there, or one of the demons, or one of his minions. Well, I resisted you. Yeah, we know you did. I resisted you in Jesus' name. Well, I know you did. I know who Jesus is, but I don't think you do, because we can tell you don't believe. Maybe you ought to go to that doctor you're so fond of. Well, thank you. I think I will. See, that's what we do. And there's nothing wrong with doctors. But see, in America, we have become spoiled. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. And in the West as well, in many other nations, we're spoiled. In order to work in fasting and prayer, we have to believe, we have to do it God's way, and we have to get in the Spirit, because that's where reality is. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. We got a few verses. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also sews a piece of cloth, new cloth, on an old garment. Else the new piece that filled it taketh away from the old, and the rent is made." You know, if you've got rotted material, and you get I'm going to fix it. So you get a nice, fresh piece of cloth and put over it, and you sew it up real nice and neat. Well, that's fine until you put some pressure on. It's going to rip away. See, note here, pressure. See, you can stick a piece of cloth on an old garment. As long as you never wear it, you never put pressure on it, it'll work. You take a Christian and he never fasts, never prays, never seeks the Lord, he will never have any problems with those who don't like Christianity, because they don't know this guy or this woman has any faith, because they never really repented. Now, see, that's really the type here when we really look at it. You can't sew a new cloth on an old garment. The same reason you can't take this relationship with the Lord and being born again to the Spirit and put it on this old nature and expect it to work. The old nature don't like it. It isn't going to put up with it, and you need to choose. You're either going to fast and fast right, or you're going to not fast and eat and drink and be merry and go on your way. But see, the devil hates the name of Jesus, Yeshua. He hates those that serve him. And he fears, and his minion fear, when you get a believer that knows how to fast and pray. when that person knows how to shake heaven and hell through prayer. See, God shook the very doorposts of heaven. You know, this is where Isaiah was when he saw the Lord. It says everything shook when the Lord roared. Well, you start fasting and praying, you're going to be shaking some things. But it is a battle, and it's not always easy. The enemy doesn't willingly give up its territory. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, lest the new wine burst the old bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But the new wine must be put into new bottles. Well, I would say bottles, wineskins, or clay pots. And you get an old enough clay pot, it's just like a lot of ours, some of our mugs that we have, you know, today, if you use them enough, they're going to crack. If you go to all the work of putting, you know, putting in the harvest and getting the wine, making the wine, you want to make sure that as it ages, it's going to be okay. So naturally, you're going to put new wine into the best bottles in order to keep it fresh, keep it good, so nothing happens. Just, is that revelation from heaven? No, this is common sense. Many times the Lord will use the very agricultural society that the children of Israel lived in to make a spiritual point. He's relating truths of the kingdom of God. I think one of the scriptures that I think really applies when we talk about fasting and prayer is found in Matthew 17, and we're going to start at verse 16, go to verse 21. And I brought to him thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, see, they wanted the disciples to cast this demon out of this kid. They couldn't do it. So Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. So then the question of it is, who's faithless and perverse? Well, the generation that was there is faithless and perverse, but, you know, he was also making it known to the disciples you need to have faith. You know, in defense, nobody was doing this in Israel. These generations had never seen what the Lord had done. The last miracle working prophets were during the time when Israel was still in the land. Both the houses were in the land. And the biggest time was when, before they got split up, before the time of Solomon. Those generations knew. I mean, there's one thing that went around. You fear God and you fear the prophets. I know when when you had prophets like Elijah, Elisha, and Samuel, you were careful how you spoke to them. Some of them would call fire down on the troops coming after them. I mean, you know, kafoof. Well, there goes that troop. Of course, the king, you know, well, he sends out 20 men. And then, of course, the smart ones are going to say, oh, prophet, don't kill us. We were just sent here by the king. We're not here to hurt you. We come in peace. Okay, come near. Fear God and the prophets. Well, today we don't fear nothing, you see. We got our computers. We got our cars. We got our nuclear bombs. We got everything. Who's God? Bring him here. We'll take care of him. Yeah, you pompous generation. The Lord is walking around in the power and glory that these people had never seen. And they were perverse. They were faithless. You couldn't get them, you know. And then he had people, you know, the Pharisees who, and the lawyers who were always peppering him, trying to trap him all the time. If it had been you or me, we'd have probably gotten a little irritated now and then. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, see, many times we expect when we're praying that the healing is instantaneous, but that's not always the case. In this case, and in the case of many of these miracles, it happened right away. But I've even known prophets and others, and the healing takes a while. And I've had experiences in my life many years ago when I was seeking deliverance from ailments. And I had the Word of God in my heart, and I walked around the house quoting the scripture of healing and rebuking the thing. And I remember walking day after day, rebuking, binding, praying that prayer for deliverance. And it came. But there is that cured from that very hour. That happens. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Now, see, there are people that believe that in this section, the Lord was actually upbraiding the disciples. I don't think so. He knows he has to disciple them. That's why they're disciples. They're not apostles yet. They're disciples, for crying out loud. They don't know everything. But having a generation of Israelites around you that have no faith can be irritating. I mean, these are people whose generation goes back to Abraham. A generation of Jews that knew the presence and power of God. They saw how he worked when he delivered them out of Egypt. They saw him bring Israel into the land. Under David, all the enemies were defeated. Under Solomon had one of the greatest empires the world had ever seen. And a king that had more wisdom than anybody. Yet that same king sinned against the Lord. And it's because of his sin. He allowed his wives, he had, 300 wives and 700 concubines. Many of those were an attempt to get, marry all these women in order to have peace with various countries. He had a big kingdom. But his heart turned away from the Lord, so the Lord divided Israel. But the children of Israel should have known. They saw that he removed them out of the northern tribe Israel, and he removed Judah out and then brought him back. So, yeah, it would be a little irritating. Why do you not believe? You are Jews. Your heritage goes back to Abraham and Moses. You know the miracles. Why can't you believe? But some of them did. Now, this is what Jesus said when he retorted to the disciples. He said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. It shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. This first thing is because of your unbelief. There's two things he mentions here. Because of your unbelief. If you say unto it to be removed, nothing will be impossible to you. Howbeit, he says, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. So you could say the whole problem is not unbelief but prayer and fasting. No, that's not true. Because in the fasting and prayer, as you're fasting and praying and seeking the Lord, your faith structure, your belief gets built up. And for most people, when we talk about Christians or anybody else, when you have the word and you're speaking the word and preaching the word, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But in prayer and fasting, it also builds you up, especially if you're praying in the Holy Spirit. So this one here, number one, they didn't believe as they should have. And, of course, the test is, did it work? Now, you know, the thing of it is that when you're talking about this, if you're fasting and if you're praying, and if you're going to pray for a major miracle to be done, you have to have people around you that are going to believe. If you have people and say you have one person in bed you're praying for, and you're in a room and you notice that you can feel in your spirit there's unbelief there. You need to get the ones with unbelief out of there, and the rest of them then can believe with you, because unbelief is a killer. Now, you know, many times when the Lord was out teaching and walking around, for instance, here in Matthew 15, 32, it says, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. So here you have the fact that you had a multitude that had been with him. He had been teaching for 3 days. And, of course, was he walking? We don't know. Was he just standing in one place? Probably not. You know, I can envision him with the disciples and the multitude following him, walking around, giving examples and stories and using the landscape, you know, the things in Israel there as stories to give eternal truths. But see, this also says, yeah, the Lord fasted a lot. But here we find that the people were so interested that they stayed with him for 3 days, and there was nothing to eat. There was the word of God. So he says, I'm not going to send them away fasting. They haven't had anything to eat. I haven't given them anything except the Word of God. There was something he needed to take care of. Of course, this is where they get to the feeding and the miracle of the loaves and fishes and stuff. We have another thing here. Paul, and we call this fasting. See, just like the children of Israel, you know, in the last thing we talked about, they had been with him, all the multitudes, for 3 days with nothing to eat. Going without food is fasting. But when we talk about fasting before the Lord, it's more than just not eating. Now, see an example, like here in Acts 27:33, Paul is on board a ship. He's heading to Rome. And it said, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them to take meat. Well, because the reason that they were having this is because of a major storm. Paul had warned him in the beginning not to go, but they went anyway. So at any rate, he said, this is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. So the point of this scripture is just simply that the mere fact of working and getting busy and not eating is fasting. But when we talk about fasting and prayer, it's more than just going without breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It has with it an attitude of prayer. It involves seeking the Lord. It gets into the Word. It's praying. It's whatever you're trying to do during this time. Maybe fasting and prayer, meaning I'm not going to eat. I want to spend time looking to the Lord. I want to get into the Word. I want to study. Or you just want to sit there. You want to focus on the Lord, whatever it is. You want to pray. You want to bind. You got a problem. You have kids that need saved. You got friends that need help. So you can die. You know, you're not going to eat. So you can pray and seek the Lord. There's a spiritual dimension here. You're not going to tend to the flesh to feed it. You are going to seek the Lord, and it's going to be a seeking through the Spirit. Having said that, you can, you know, fast a morning breakfast, fast a lunch, fast dinner as well. You can do partial fast, full day fast. You can do 3 days in a row. You can do sunrise to sunset. You can do early morning until 3 p.m. about. You know, you can do all kinds of fasts. But the important part of it is to focus. What are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish? And I don't mean you have to write a thesis paper. It's just simple. Make it simple. And it can become a lifestyle that way. You know, many times when I fast, you know, I don't even think about it. You know, I just a normal part of what I do. You know, I might be fasting whole days or several days in a row or part of a day or a meal or two meal, whatever, you know, it just, you know, get busy. I'm looking to the Lord. Because it does involve, you know, that's part of what I do, you know. And so it's not like, you know, you're trying to pass a law through Congress. God in heaven. Thank God it's not like that. These people ain't doing nothing except arguing, trying to get rid of Trump. I mean, talk about an absolute worthless group of legislators. I mean, it's just like unreal. No, we're not like that. Get to business, get in the presence of the Lord, and be done with it. You know, if you want to eat lunch, eat lunch. If you want to just do vegetables, do vegetables. If you want to eat soup, eat soup. If you don't want to eat nothing, eat nothing. If you want to drink tea, drink tea. It doesn't matter. Just get in the attitude, seek the Lord, and put away the flesh and seek God. And, of course, in that seeking, you want to repent of your sins. You want to confess your sins. You want to ask God to forgive you, forgive your family. And, you know, you say, God, forgive them. You know, you can find, you know, if you've got relatives, you know, you say, Lord, forgive such and such in her family. If you have someone that is an enemy, you know, you can pray for them. You could even ask God to forgive them. You can bind spirits, not only around you or attacking you, but you can bind the spirit in another person. And that is a spirit that is causing this person to be an enemy to you. You're at work. A coworker hates you. He causes trouble for you, troublesome spirit. So you go into fasting and praying for 3 days. You focus on that individual. You mention him every day. And in the fasting and the prayer, you specifically mention him, bind that spirit of troubling. That spirit. Things change that way. Now, here's a Gentile believer. You'll recognize him, Cornelius. Remember him? Cornelius said, this is Acts 10:30, speaking to Peter, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, your prayers heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. And he told him to go to Peter's house. Where to go? Well, I'll tell you. That's an answer to prayer. He's a Gentile. And of course, it's here that Peter learns that God is opening it up to the Gentiles, this offer of redemption. Now, there is one commanded fast, and I might mention this a little later. But this is where it's mentioned, Acts 27:9. This is Paul. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous. Now, that's related to the other one we talked about. Because the fast was now already past. Paul admonished them. That's in the fall, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day of the year. And, of course, you have the Day of Trumpets, which begins it. You have 10 days, and that's the time that you use to soul search, to seek the Lord, to fix relationships. Because of the fast, that Day of Atonement fast is the only commanded fast in Scripture. The others aren't commanded. The one for the Day of Atonement is. And then, of course, Paul in 1 Corinthians, he has a few things to say about fasting. Dear God in heaven. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise, the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. Now, this is this is definitely not America 101. The wife does not have power over her own body. That's why we murder babies today, because the women have a right to, because it's their body, so they murder the baby. They go out, get themselves knocked up, and, you know, of course, there's a guy along to help her. And so the best way to take care of the situation is kill the baby. So that's the death of an innocent life. That's blood guilt. That's murder. And of course, you know, while the body is hers, the baby isn't. Okay. That baby is God's. He created it. He put this baby in her body. He made it possible for that to happen. She does not have power to murder. She has power to give birth, not murder. But see, in America, we just go ahead and do abortion. That's fine because, you know, the official left-wing and middle-wing idea in the Democratic Party is abortion is fine. It's not fine. It's murder. Nevertheless, you're not going to change America. You're not going to change many people how they feel. China murders kids left and right, and so does others. So at any rate, so the whole idea is they don't have power over their own body because they're married. And if the husband wants sex, you know, the wife needs to give him sex, or vice versa, or whatever it is they're doing. But see, that's not the point of this. The point is, in verse 5, he says, defraud you not one another, speaking of sex. Why? Because you wind up, and he'll tell you that, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. See, because God has allowed married life, a man and a woman, and they can have sex in the confines of marriage, and it is proper and right in the sight of God. And it keeps the temptation of the devil away from both of them. Oh, that's what it's supposed to do. But for a time of fasting and prayer, you consent together. We're not going to come together during this fasting and prayer. Matter of fact, this is scriptural. I mean, this goes back to the law. This goes back to the time in Sinai. And so the whole thing was about the relationship between a man and a woman, but specifically Paul wanted to make sure it got in there about fasting and prayer. That's how important it was. You know, yeah, the wife doesn't have power over her own body. The husband doesn't either. Don't defraud each other. You know, that is, don't stop each other from enjoying an intimate relationship. Except for a time that you both agree to, that you can fast and pray. This is part of the package. When you fast and pray, you don't do those things because you're sanctifying yourself before God, looking to Him alone. Well, at any rate, do we really give heedance to this in America? Who knows? I haven't taken a poll lately. But when you fast and pray, you fast and pray.
Yeah.
Things have changed so much between the time of the apostles and today. Now, here in Acts, we have a thing here. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now see, the commissioning of Barnabas and Saul. Has this fasting and praying in it. They also have ministering to the Lord, and they were fasting. So this whole time of ministry was associated with fasting and prayer. And then when they were ready to send them out for God's work, like you would send a missionary, you lay hands on them and pray. But they fast as well, fasted, prayed, and laid their hands on them. This is the anointing and the power structure that God has ordained. And this again is confirmed when we get into Acts 14, verse 22 and 23. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every city and had fast prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So here again, we see praying with fasting. And of course, so while we have our own fast going on and we're praying, there is a ministry that we can be doing. And that's the binding, the praying, the deliverance work, and other things that you have to do, seeking God. But the ministry itself is wrapped up in fasting and praying. It's not a matter of just getting a license and being an ordained minister and having a good wage provided for you, like many of these big denominations do. Their preachers are well taken care of. They have money. They have retirement. They have everything. And many times that's where we see the devil slipping in, is when the minister is taken care of. He's fallen asleep. The early apostles, they didn't have that luxury. Now, Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:4 through 10. He talks about the ministry. He says, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, approving ourselves. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings. Then he says, in fastings. Now, he goes on to say, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown, yet well-known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. You see the opposites here? Unknown, yet you're well-known, honor and dishonor, evil report, good report. See, because to others, there can be an evil report. They can think you're evil, that you're dishonoring because they don't agree with your message. They don't want to hear the gospel. So he's talking about the ministry and what they were going through. But in the midst of this description is fasting. And so this is important to know. This is what this is about in a Christian life. Part of your ministry as a believer is fasting and prayer. Now, he mentions this again when we get in 2 Corinthians 11:25. He says three times, it's thrice, but I just went ahead and say, three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. That's in the ocean. In journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils at sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst. Then he says, in fastings often, and in cold and nakedness, in fastings often. There's no doubt that in the ministry of Paul, and he suffered a lot, he was fasting often. And look at all the perils. Everywhere he went, there was perils. We live in America, and how many perils do we really have? But we have Christians, and we have reports coming out of areas that are absolutely perilous to work in. And we're seeing miracles and signs and wonders. We're seeing people come to the Lord. And in those reports and in those ministries, we are finding that fasting and prayer is a regular part of not only the minister, but the Christian believers themselves in those churches. So it's imperative for you to understand that. Now, we're going to stop there. And when we come back next week, we'll be on the 40-day fast and a number of other things. So we covered a lot of stuff today. But the main emphasis when we look at it is that this has to be worked into your regular life. Become a regular part, but not old hat. Not so commonplace that you fall asleep when you're doing it, but something that if you have to do, it's okay. You won't have problem. Because I can tell you that the enemy hasn't left the building. That is earth. Now, when you're a Christian, he's left you because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. But that doesn't mean he doesn't want to attack. That doesn't mean he doesn't want to cause trouble. So it's imperative that you understand that. And work to alleviate the situation because you can't do it alone. Like the Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Yeah, trying to grow a branch without the vine. We'll be back.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Well, thank you for joining us. This has been Sound the Shofar. I'm the Watchman, and for Tower, we thank you for joining us. Father, we pray that you would bless the people that listen whenever they listen, undertake in their lives, and meet their needs, Father. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. And I send this word out across the phone line, the internet connection, to the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. We'll see you. Don't forget to visit our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Follow us on our social feeds. Read the articles. Listen to the shows. Visit our websites. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.